Good morning. It's so good to be with you this morning. How are you today? Yeah, amen. We're going to be in John chapter 10. We'll be in John chapter 10 this morning. If you want to turn with me to John chapter 10, we're going to read the first 10 verses. Amazing passage of scripture, and I'm excited for the word that God has for us this morning. John chapter 10, starting in verse 1, read with me. Truly I tell you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't know the voice of strangers. Jesus gave them this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Jesus said again, "Truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance." Let's pray. God, man, what a word. John 10, I am the gate, or I am the door, I am the good shepherd. A lot packed in John chapter 10. I pray that we wouldn't really approach this text thinking, oh, we've got this one down. No, I pray that we would open our hearts up to you, myself included, that we would lean into what you're wanting to say today. There is something very specific that you are telling us, and that is that there is life and abundance through the Good Shepherd, but the only way to enter into that life of abundance, it's through Jesus. And so I pray for those who have never entered in to the sheepfold, that you would help them see their need to respond when you're calling their name. And I pray for the ones who we've already entered in, but maybe we've gone astray, maybe we've been opening other doors that don't lead to a flourishing life. Help us see that today. Would you speak to us this morning? We're trusting you, needing a word. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Hey, about a month ago, last year, I had an assignment where I was called to go on this four-hour prayer retreat. It's a prayer and solitude retreat where we were told, put your phone to the side and you need to go somewhere, Bible in hand with just a pen, maybe some paper, and that's all you have. And for me, look, I'm very big about my prayer and intimacy with the Father, so it's not like this was foreign to be in the Word, to be in silence, but 4 hours with nothing, now that's a little different. Okay, so I remember I had to coordinate this with kind of the inner people in my life. I had to talk with Kelly. I'm going to leave my phone at the house. I'm not going to touch it. So I'm praying though. So if you're getting mad, I'm praying, right? I let Chris know, some of the people know, I'm going dark. I actually said that. I'm going dark for 4 hours. And I drove to the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, I knew that was coming. And walked out. And to be honest with you, I felt a little nervous. I remember thinking, it's not like there was a hidden sin I was hiding from people, but I just felt a little nervous. I just felt like, I don't know, that when I go this silent, like ever silent everything out, and I just hone in, it's just me and God, I was feeling nervy, like he was going to rebuke me for something. And that's in all seriousness. I was just like, what's going to happen? And so it was early morning, just began walking down the coast, and turned to my Bible. I had a little Gideon's Bible at that point, just a little tiny thing, and God led me to Psalm 46, and I just began reading in Psalm 46, and I wasn't even thinking about the psalm I was in. So I came across, and again, I'm not trembling, but I'm just like feeling nervy. You know, what is God going to say to me in this time of silence and solitude? And then hit Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. And in that moment, it was emotional. I mean, very emotional. And I felt the sweet embrace of my Heavenly Father. The Good Shepherd put his arms around me and just felt like God saying, hey, your rebuke Really, what I'm wanting to teach you for these next 4 hours is you are not resting in me, and you need to come back and rest in me. It was an amazing moment, and for the rest of the 4 hours, I just walked, would stop, would pray, would write down, walk and stop and pray and write down. And, you know, I think when we begin to talk about the Good Shepherd, John 10 is all about the Good Shepherd passage. This is the life that he's calling you to, this resting in him, grazing in the grace of his pasture. He wants to embrace you and put his arms around you and love you and guide you. And when we expect rebuke from him, I think you're maybe like me approaching, think he's going to drop the hammer down, and you'll see, no, he comes to you with grace, and he's gentle and lowly and kind. This is what he calls you. He reminds you of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down by green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul for his name's sake. This is the shepherd. Yeah, and we know that because Lord knows we know Psalm 23. Every movie has it, especially if something crisis is happening. 250 F-bombs could be dropped in that moment, but someone's going to pray Psalm 23. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Come on. Someone's going to pray it. The Lord is my shepherd. God, get me through this. And then another load of language. We know the psalm, but yet in the church we know the psalm, yet we find ourselves in moments of tragedy and despair. Man, we're opening all sorts of doors looking for flourishing life and peeking in. Does this work? Does that work? And no, really what we need is what God did with me is bring me back, put everything else aside, put your phone aside, just me and you. Here comes peace. And so the big idea for today is this: Jesus is the only door to a full and flourishing life. Can we get around that today? Jesus is the only door to a full and flourishing life. And the reason I want us to get around that is, number one, it's biblical. Okay, so you're like, I don't know about that. Well, then you're rejecting scripture. But secondly, we're all guilty of peeking in other doors and it does not work. Number one, I want you to see that Jesus pursues. Number one, Jesus pursues. And we see in verse 1 of chapter 10, truly I tell you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. Okay, so what Jesus is doing in John chapter 10 is he's beginning to lean into this sheep shepherd imagery. So if you've grown up in church, you've heard of Jesus is the chief shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. We're led by under shepherds. Jesus in John 10 is really going to start leaning in that he is this messianic shepherd that everybody's been looking towards. But the crowd that he's talking to is the same hostile crowd in John chapter 9. And really, Jesus has faced a lot of hostility throughout his ministry. And if you remember in John chapter 9, Jesus made a man who could not see again. And somehow people got upset about that. And that's where we're like, welcome to church, because people get upset about all sorts of miracles, right? Jesus heals this blind man. He went from not being able to see to being able to see. The Pharisees are like, how did this happen? And it was Jesus, you know, bow down and worship God. Don't worship Jesus. And no, I'm going to, Jesus, I can see now. You know what they did to the blind man? Get out of the synagogue. We don't want to talk to you anymore. So this is the type of hostile environment that Jesus is still speaking to. So look at what he says. Truly, I tell you, kind of signaling to us, we're just kind of segueing into John chapter 10. Anyone who doesn't climb the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. Pharisees are hanging around. Imagine what they're thinking. Jesus, I mean, he pressed in on the people. Okay, he was very bold in his communicating, master at this. And what he's describing is, and at their time, there would be these sheepfolds. I don't have a picture for you. A kind of a sheepfold, a community area where everyone would keep their sheep around different homes, and all different sheep were in there. And they would hire a watchman or an under-shepherd. This is kind of where we get this idea of under-shepherd. They would hire a watchman or an under-shepherd. And quite literally at times, the watchman would lay in front of the gate to keep people from getting in. Maybe they'd sleep in front of that gate because only good people should be allowed in. And unauthorized people, because of the under-shepherd guarding the gate, they would climb over the fence and over the rocks, you know, and the only reason they would try to get in, unauthorized people try to get in to the sheepfold where all these sheep are, is to just destroy them, to steal them, I mean, wreak havoc. This is what they would do. Now, this is what we need to do. We need to insert Ezekiel chapter 34 into the picture. So write down Ezekiel 34. We're not going to read it all, but insert Ezekiel chapter 34 into the picture because that is our backdrop for John chapter 10. As you know, or maybe you don't know, Israel was God's chosen people, right? These are the people, these were his children, and God would put human shepherds to lead Israel. Throughout the Old Testament, he'd put people in charge to lead Israel, to guide them, to take care of them, to protect them. Well, guess what happened? They didn't do a very good job. In fact, these people that God tasked to lead Israel would lead them to disobey God rather than to obey God. They didn't do anything that they were tasked to do. I mean, destroying the sheep, destroying God's people. He would put this like religion on top of them. You got to do all this stuff. He really destroyed the sheep, put them under all this bondage. They did a horrible job, and next thing you know, Israel is just in loads of disobedience. They've been led astray, and this doesn't mean that they aren't guilty of sin. They're guilty of sin, but they were tasked by God, was tasked these people to guide Israel, and they did just an absolute terrible job. So then you get to Ezekiel 34, and you know what God says through prophecy? I mean, he drops the hammer down on these kings that he put in charge to guide Israel. Drops the hammer down, condemns them. Basically says, you've done a horrible job. My sheep, who I trusted you to lead, are going all over the place. They're disobeying me. They're stuck in sin. You've led them astray. They're fending for themselves. So you know what Jesus tells the kings? You're out. You're done. You're done. And so it's like, this is not a fun text to read, Ezekiel 34. But then you know what God does? He said, but I'm putting someone in charge. There's going to be one shepherd I'm going to send who's going to lead my sheep. And we pick this up in Ezekiel chapter 34, 22. Look at what God says after all this. Yeah, you've done a horrible job, kings. Look at what he says. Verse 22, I will save my flock. They will no longer be prey, and I will judge between one sheep and another. I will establish over them one shepherd, my servant David. And he will shepherd them. He will tend them himself and will be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David will be a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Okay. You know what's wild about this? King David had been dead hundreds of years by the time this was being prophesied. That is because the text is messianic. Jesus is speaking to this forever kingdom he's going to establish through the coming Messiah. And this shepherd's going to not lead the sheep astray and take care of them and watch over them. Fast forward to John 9 and 10. What happened in John 9? Again, blind man went from not being able to see to being able to see. He gets thrown out. Now he's just kind of wandering. He can see, but no one's taking care of him. He's on his own. And what did Jesus do in John 9? He went and found this man and didn't just leave it at the physical sight. He gave him spiritual sight. He protected him. He saved him. That's because Jesus is the fulfillment of Ezekiel chapter 34. That's what happens. It's amazing. And really what we're seeing, what Jesus is kind of alluding to is, and when it comes to the Pharisees, well, he's being pretty blunt without saying it. You are the thieves and the robbers who are destroying the sheep. You go on in verses 2 and 3. We're about to lift up the spirit a little bit, by the way, because it gets better. Trust me. From here on outside, this is awesome. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now, we're going to ask the question, okay, who is this shepherd of the text? Yes, this is, again, the Good Shepherd text that's coming up, and we'll get to that next week. But you have to ask, like, who is the shepherd? We've just established Jesus is the shepherd. He's the one who's now coming up to this sheepfold, and he's calling sheep by name. So he's coming up, or the shepherd comes up. This is the imagery we're given. The shepherd comes up to this sheepfold, and he begins to call sheep by name. Now, this is wild. At this time, they named their sheep. So when you think of, like, for me, when I think of like a sheep or a bunch of sheep together and shepherds, I'm not picturing like this like kind interaction, okay? I think of sheepdogs, you know, rounding up the sheep. I think of Babe. Anybody in the house? Now, Babe's kind of like a shepherd, you know. He talks to the sheep, apparently. But that's what I think. Like, I think of a pig rounding up the sheep and, you know, you go in there, bah, ram you, you know. Sheep be true, bah. That's what I think of, all right? The shepherds of this time, they would literally name their sheep. And they would walk up and you know, say, you know, and Johnny, you know, come on. I'm not going to say names. You're like, oh, no, the shepherd's calling me, right? But they would go up and they would just call the names of the sheep. And the sheep would hear, oh, that's my shepherd. And they would even, that's how they would gather up their sheep from the sheepfold. Because, again, this was a community sheepfold where all sorts of sheep were in it. So the shepherd would walk up and say, come here, you come here, you come here. And they would walk out of the sheepfold and then they would follow their shepherd. And this is pretty amazing when you think about it, because look at what Jesus is painting for us today. If you are a believer, if you are a child of God, if you are one of his sheep, he knows your name. That's amazing. He knows your name. He knows everything there is to know about you. He knows when you've been thrown to the side and no one's talking to you. You know, you're just struggling. He knows that. He knows if you're young and you got all this energy and you want to go running around, frolicking around the field. He knows that. He's like, man, go find pasture, have fun. He knows when you're getting older, not moving like you used to. You got some pains. The shepherd knows that too. He knows we need to eat. He knows we need to rest. Like, he knows everything there is to know about you. It's this intimate relationship that he has with his sheep. It's not one of like, power, am I over you? It's personal. It's relational. This is the way that God has designed our relationship to be with him. It's very relational. And the picture that we are given now is this shepherd. And this, John 10, 1 to 5, is really the shepherd coming up to the sheepfold that we'll call religion, in this instance, the religion of Judaism. And the good shepherd comes up to this religion of Judaism, and there's all these people in the sheepfold, and he begins to call people by name, saying, come and join my sheepfold. Come and join my messianic kingdom. Let me get you out of all this. Come and join what God has done through me. And guess what we know? There are some people who are like, that is my shepherd. I'm going to follow him. I'm going where he's going. I hear his voice, and I'm going. But then guess what some people do? They stay in the sheepfold. They don't go nowhere. They just sit. This is very much what we're seeing happen with the Pharisees. All these miracle after miracle. Blind man can see. I mean, who's going to deny a blind man can see? And they're like, we reject this shepherd, we want nothing to do with you. Get out. I mean, this is what's going on. But again, some people follow. It's amazing. But Jesus is doing the pursuing. Salvation has nothing to do with you and me. It's Jesus coming up to the sheepfold, and he's just calling names, saying, come out and follow me. It's pretty amazing. Secondly, so we see Jesus pursues. Secondly, we see that Jesus protects. Now, if you look in verse 6, Jesus gave them this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. So there were people, Pharisees included, weren't really following, weren't really tracking with what was going on. Then 7 to 9, Jesus said again, truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. Again, Jesus protects. So in verse 7, Jesus really begins to intensify this whole sheep shepherd imagery, and he drops one of the famous I ams. I am the gate, or I am the door. So he is like, yeah, I'm the one who comes up to the sheepfold and I'm calling people in, but as I establish my own sheepfold, as I establish my own flock, I am the very gate by which people enter in. I am the one. You have to come through me. And what he's really pointing out, this come and go as you please, this is exclusive access to God, but it's not just access to God, it's protection, it's security. He's saying, when you come under my watchful care, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to watch over you. You're under my care now. I am going to be with you. Again, truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All these people who have come before me, thieves and robbers, they are not the gate to the sheep. I am the gate
to the sheep, and I am going to be your protector. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to be with you. It's amazing. Yeah, we think we got to kind of sit back and hide. You know, he calls us into the sheepfold, and there's this idea that, no, Jesus says, I'm going to put my arm around you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to be with you. I think about, I've got some amazing daughters, Piper and Ivy, and I picture myself as their protector, as their ones that I'm going to watch out for them. I'm going to guard them. I'm going to make sure people don't mess with them. This is, again, very much what Jesus is doing for us. He is our protector. He is watching over us. He is making sure that we are kept safe. Now, this is a very important word for the church today. If you think about it, it's not just for the first century church. It's not just for Jesus's audience. It's for us today, because to this day, there are people still attempting to sneak their way into the sheepfold, thieves and robbers, and they are wanting to destroy the church, wanting to ruin the church, wanting to ruin what God is doing within the sheep. They'll sneak their way in, and you don't really know they're there until they begin to cause the destruction. They are what we would call wolves in sheepskin. That is what they are. And until Jesus returns, there's going to be these people that sneak their way in, and their only goal is destruction. Jesus is protecting. He is very much the gate that's going to protect his church, but there's still a warning there. There are thieves and robbers who want to destroy what God is doing. And hear me on this. So the most dangerous people in the church and for your spiritual health are the ones who claim to be Christians, who are quoting all the scripture. Maybe they do a little hand lifting during worship. They are some of the ones who will cause the greatest destruction in the church. This is why God, if you look at how he has set his church up, he has set up a church under Jesus, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, and he has tasked pastors, under shepherds, to be the gatekeepers to protect the flock. This is why he's established it the way that he has. But you don't need to fear. You don't need to worry. He is going to protect you. Jesus protects. The text goes a little bit further. In verse 9 and 10, I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. Thirdly, Jesus provides. So verse 9, which we didn't touch on quite as much, but we'll lean into it now. I am the gate. He's really re-emphasizing and going even deeper into what it means to be the gate. We know that Jesus pursues. We know that Jesus protects. But he's leaning in even more. And when he says, I am the gate, and anyone who enters by me, he will be saved and come in and go out and find pasture. There is exclusivity and there's sufficiency with Jesus. He's not just offering protection, but he's also providing every little thing that we need. But to be clear, Jesus being the gate, don't miss it. This is the only access in to his pasture. When he's saying, I am the gate, you could flip ahead to John 14:6, where Jesus declares, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. He is the only access point into the sheepfold, into his loving care. But it's not just salvation he's offering. It's not just protection he's offering. It's provision that he's offering. He wants you to go out and find pasture and enjoy life. Find pasture in the Old Testament was a metaphor used for provision and peace. And so Jesus, man, he's saying, like, me being the gate and me being the shepherd and you're under my watchful care, I'm not just protecting you, but I'm offering you peace and security and blessing and a flourishing life, abundant life. Enjoy it. Again, I said that I love my daughters, and I do. I love them dearly, and I tell them that all the time. As Piper, she's 8 years old now, and she's getting older, I tell her all the time, I'm like, I'm your protector. I'm the one that's watching over you. You are safe. And I've said it. She'll, what about a monster? Blah, blah, blah. Can't happen. I would kill him, you know. Essentially, anyone who comes in, like, they're dead. I'm watching over you. Okay, being her protector, though, doesn't mean I'm like, and we're staying in the house. We're not going anywhere. Now, me personally, yeah, I'm like, just stay in your room. Don't go out. But as her protector, no, we say, go and play in the yard. Go play with your friend Allison. We're going to take you to the park. We're going to travel. We're going to have fun. Enjoy life to the fullest. But I'm still going to watch over you. But enjoy it. See, when you're in the sheepfold of the Almighty God, of the Good Shepherd, he wants you to go out and find pasture. Enjoy life. He doesn't want us to hide away. What's the point of the protection and the provision that he offers if you're hiding away in his sheepfold, starving to death? He's calling you to go out, come in and go out as you please. Live life to the fullest. Be obedient. Fulfill the Great Commission. This is what I'm calling you to do, and you're going to love it. But you know what he doesn't promise? He does not promise a trouble-free life. That's not what he's saying. His protection is him not saying, his provision, this provision that he's offering, it's not like, no, you may have some days that are hard. You actually, Jesus providing, you may have some days where you're eating beans for breakfast, which, that's terrible, right? It's protein. I don't want it. His provision isn't promising a trouble-free life, but you know what it is promising? Even when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil. Because he is with you. And his rod and his staff, they are comforting you. So no, it's not trouble-free, but he is watching over you. And even when you have found yourself, feels like nobody else around, you're searching and, oh my goodness, you're overwhelmed, you're surrounded by the enemy, you feel like it's over. Where do I go? You know what it is? Jesus steps up as the good shepherd and he's like, hey, it's just me and you. See all these enemies around here? I'm going to set a table up right here in the presence of all your enemies and we're going to feast. And don't look at them, me and you. I mean, literally, he's like, me and you right here. And you're like, oh my goodness, Jesus, do you not see all these people? They want to kill me. He's like, hey, me and you. Let's feast in the presence of your enemies. That's the provision he has to offer. And you may go, well, Jesus, what if they kill me? What if they kill me? Jesus is like, to live is Christ, to die is gain. They're not really going to have success over killing you. So don't misunderstand the flourishing. Don't misunderstand the provision. Doesn't mean life's perfect, but it does mean God is with you always. And even when you do pass on this side of heaven, there is the other side of heaven. And provision continues. Jesus is the only door that leads to a full and flourishing life. There's a few things I wanted us to take from this. Number one, answer the call. Answer the call. For some of you, he keeps stepping up to the sheepfold. You're not in his sheepfold. You're in this other sheepfold of religion or fill in the blank, and he's calling your name. Again, he's calling your name, saying, come join this kingdom of mine. Come join this flock of mine. Answer the call. Don't keep walking out saying, don't need it. No, next week. Answer the call, number one. Secondly, some of you need a return to the shepherd. Some of you need a return to the shepherd. You have been astray for far too long. You are the one that have been guilty of trying to find all these other doors that makes you feel better. And Jesus is telling you, man, just come back under my care. I've got you. Thirdly, know his voice. Do you know the voice of the good shepherd right now? Know his voice. Sometimes the noise gets so loud in life, so much noise around you. Some of you need to quiet out that noise, eliminate some of that noise so you can hear his voice again. He's still there. Know his voice and really learn to know his voice more and more each day. Fourthly, be ready to reject false shepherds because they are everywhere and they are wreaking havoc on the church. Reject them. Fifthly, live abundantly. So don't walk out of here. I feel like there's like this real sad moment. You know what that is? Kind of that weightiness you feel, because we all know it's like, oh yeah, life's hard. Life's hard. But let's live life to the fullest. And you can do that today. God, man, grateful for your word, Jesus. That's what we're really praying, Jesus. That's what we're really preaching is Jesus, the gospel. Who came and lived a perfect and sinless life and died on the cross for our sins, rose again, conquering sin and grave, and has been extending the life to people, has been calling people into his sheepfold. What a word, God. I pray for the ones who have yet to answer the call. Would you speak to them right now in this moment? Help them answer that call for the first time. We thank you that you pursue us. Salvation, our salvation is a work of yours. It's in your hands, not ours. Praise God. God, we thank you for your protection. That's amazing. We can live boldly in this world. Thank you. God, we thank you for your provision that you always provide. That doesn't mean a perfect life, but you are with us and you will guide us to the end of our days. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, amen. Hey, go ahead and stand up. We have one last song of worship. If you need to come down and pray up front, please do. If you need to talk to someone, we got some people on my right and left who would love to talk with you about what it means to follow Jesus, or you can talk with me. But let's continue on in our worship this morning.